Trapp re-entered the interrogation room, now loaded up with an M4 rifle taken from an armory cabinet and a pair of pistols. Madison was squatting on her haunches, local style, underneath the window, with the satellite phone's antenna extended so that it aimed directly up.
Do you want the good news or the bad?
The good.
He walked to her and handed over one of the sidearms, along with several spare magazines of ammunition. She nodded her thanks.
Help's on the way. ETA 5 minutes.
That's quick.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a single RAF Typhoon on combat air patrol. It's loaded out with 500-pound Paveway Mark IVs, but unless you have a runway and a sled hiding out in one of your pockets, it's not gonna give us a ride out of here.
Ground support?
At least an hour out, and that's if we get lucky. Looks like there's another major assault going down in Al-Shaddadi. Any serious relief effort will have to wait till that's mopped up.
Trapp peered out of the barred window. As yet, none of the figures streaming across the prison grounds appeared to have noticed their presence, but it couldn't last. There were more of them with every passing second. At first, he'd seen mainly black-clad ISIS fighters surging through the breached outer wall. But now, those black dots were swallowed up by a sea of liberated orange. Worse, the initial attackers had brought with them large bundles of weapons. The large canvas bags they'd used to carry them were now scattered across the dusty courtyard below and resembled dark puddles. A few still held their shape, but those were being stripped with every passing second as orange jumpsuit-clad prisoners equipped themselves with a mix of Kalashnikovs, pistols, and rocket-propelled grenades. There had to be dozens of armed killers down there now, if not hundreds.
Looks like we're on our own.
I heard that's the way you like to operate.
You heard wrong.
As he scanned the exercise yard below, he saw a flash of movement and jerked back. A volley of poorly aimed gunshots cracked through the smashed window frame.
Come on, we need to get out of here.
Madison shoved the satellite phone back into her satchel and tossed the extra pistol magazines in with it. He grabbed her hand and pulled her toward the door. Coils of smoke had begun curling underneath it. Not yet enough to make it difficult to breathe, but certainly sufficient to tar the throat. It was hot, too. Trapp hoped that was just the punishing climate and not the fire down below. The two agency operatives stepped out into the hallway and collided with a wall of chaos. The guards nearest the gate were firing wild volleys of gunfire through the bars and down the stairs.
Damn it.
That doesn't look good.
Madison held her pistol like she mostly remembered what to do with it.
Stay close. We don't want to get separated. Here's the situation. This building's on fire. It's a concrete shell, which should slow things down. But I'm guessing there's enough kindling down there to barbecue us all.
He gestured at the offices on either side of the hallway, where huge stacks of paper rested on thick wooden desks that also supported computers and all manner of flammable office equipment.
So staying put isn't an option.
They approached the gaggle of guards and support staff around the gate. Madison stopped dead.
Shit! Is that him?
Yep. It's definitely the same guy I saw.
That enough of an ID for you?
I'll need you to write it up in a report.
The two of them shared a wry smile. The chances of either of them surviving long enough to get tangled up in agency bureaucracy seemed remote, at best. They gravitated toward the individual who appeared to be in command. He was standing about 10 yards away from the gate, alternately listening to a handheld black radio and barking commands into it. Unlike most of his fellow guards, he wasn't wearing a mask. As they approached, Trapp recognized his uniform as the one their host had been wearing.
Nice to put a face to a name.
Abdul turned sharply and let the radio fall to his side.
Yes. I have more immediate concerns than worrying whether these animals will hunt me and my family down.
What's the situation?
Snafu. I learned that from an American.
Situation normal?
All fucked up.
The enemy is in control of the grounds, along with all 4 guard towers. I've lost many of my men. I have no contact with any of those who are stationed in the hallways. The only remaining strong point is right below us, in the center of the prison. About 20 of my fighters are barricaded in the control room there. They have no way out.
Looks like we don't either.
Trapp nodded at the gunfight occurring so close to them. Abdul shook his head. He was a brave man, but looked resigned to his fate. His uniform was smeared with plaster dust, and beads of sweat ran down the side of his face.
Not unless you have any friends coming to save us.
The fast mover is going to buzz the jail about now. If you're asking about a relief force, we're shit out of luck.
It is the same on my end. There is fighting all over the city.
Trapp glanced at Al-Shaqiri, who was a few feet farther away from the stairwell gate, and noted with some surprise how zen he looked, like some kind of freaking Buddhist monk. He didn't flinch at the sound of either gunfire or explosions, unlike the civilian support staff who had been herded to roughly the same point in the hallway. Nor did he appear excited. He just was. Trapp put it out of his mind for the time being, figuring that to survive 5 years in a jail like this, you would have to take up meditation so that you didn't go insane. Still, there was something weird about it, as though he wasn't surprised.
Coming up behind.
He pressed his rifle's stock tight to his shoulder as he advanced through the crowd of guards. The floor was scattered with brass shell casings, but there were surprisingly few bullet holes in the ceiling, given the intensity of outgoing fire. He hoped that meant the escaped ISIS fighters downstairs were more interested in freedom than vengeance. The gaggle of SDF prison guards around the gate parted ahead of him without complaint and allowed him to approach the bars of the gate. He stood a head taller than most of them, and a foot taller than some, which probably played a part in their acceptance of his authority. Three bodies lay on the other side of the gate at the foot of the stairs. Two belonged to jumpsuit-wearing prisoners, and the third to one of the black-clad militants who had attacked the facility. He watched as an armed prisoner nudged into view of their elevated position. The man jerked back as several chunks were torn from the concrete floor around him.
Smart move. Now if you could just tell the rest of your buddies it isn't worth it, that'd be great.
At once, half a dozen automatic rifles opened up downstairs. The sudden increase in chatter caused most of the men around him to instinctively retreat, firing wildly as they did so. Trapp turned and fired several neatly spaced three-round bursts down into the stairwell. He turned and beckoned the guards back toward him.
Keep their heads down. Make them decide whether they want to choose freedom or a shot at paradise. I don't care how devout they think they are. Most will take the first option, believe me.
Madison translated his words quickly. As he was backing away, it occurred to Trapp that there was something curious about the way the freed prisoners were shooting. They surely had enough firepower to drive back the guards above them, despite not holding the high ground. It was almost as though they were holding back. He'd seen the RPGs they had brought into the prison. Just one of those was enough to end this. And yet they weren't ending it. But why?
Kill him!
He and his guard friends opened up in a barrage of automatic gunfire that wouldn't have looked out of place on the first day of the Somme. Another guard punched his fist into the air.
Suicide vests.
Madison was translating something she heard amid the maelstrom.
Peachy.
That probably explained the earlier reticence of the gunmen. They were simply holding back and waiting for the heavy artillery. Well, two could play that game. He searched for the commander.
Abdul, you have any grenades?
The Syrian looked up from his radio.
Grenades! I think we...
An explosion rocked the floor beneath them, forcing a hail of shrapnel up the stairwell that sent the guards behind the bars stumbling back, clutching their faces and chests.
Get forward!
Trapp grabbed an uninjured fighter and physically propelled him toward the gate. He'd instantly understood what the explosion heralded. The first gate was likely breached. What mattered now was who would be the first to react. He sprinted to the gate, emptying most of his magazine down into the dust-swirled stairwell, but it was too late. As his weapon clicked dry, half a dozen orange-clad prisoners staggered out of the smoke and fell on the gate, some collapsing from the wounds he'd inflicted, and slid down the steel bars. Trapp stepped back, letting the rifle fall against its sling and drawing the pistol from his hip. He squeezed the trigger, not flinching as one of the rounds sparked off the steel gate and ricocheted wildly back against the wall beside him. The guard at his side was firing wildly, but most of his shots were going high. Then his rifle too ran dry. Trapp took another step back. He kept his finger on the pistol's trigger, but didn't fire. There were three rows of armed prisoners now, the first dead on the floor in front of the steel gate, the second kneeling, and the third standing. The latter two ranks each numbered five armed men. There were more of them behind, faces unseen. To shoot now would have the same result as suicide by cop. For some reason, the prisoners didn't open fire. As if by divine intention, neither did the Syrian guards behind Trapp. It was a good old-fashioned standoff. The immediate sounds of battle had faded. Trapp barely needed to raise his voice.
Abdul, about those grenades?
There was a brief pause, presumably as the Syrian collected his wits.
No luck. We don't store them up here.
No. That would have been too easy.
Jason?
Madison didn't turn, but kept his pistol aimed at a randomly chosen ISIS prisoner, now escaped prisoner, just beyond the gate.
Yeah?
There's something off about this, right?
She gave voice to the same worm of intrigue that had been burrowing into his brain for the past 10 minutes.
What are they doing?
What's on your mind, Madison? Talk it out.
They should be running, shouldn't they?
Trapp's gaze swept across the stacked prisoners. They appeared surprisingly calm, despite the unsettling shriek of the Typhoon's jet engine in the sky overhead. He could tell a couple of them were itching to open fire, but they had good NATO-style trigger discipline. Fingers kept agreeably far from the triggers.
Should be.
And if they wanted to go out in a blaze of glory instead, then this is the perfect opportunity. But they aren't doing that either, even though the whole first row was wearing suicide vests.
Nope.
So you think they're here for a reason?
She was clearly building to something, and just as clearly, continuing to talk. Because if she didn't, then she might simply break down from fear.
Yep.
The same thought was crystallizing in his mind.
You think that reason is El-Shaqiri?
A tall, broad prisoner shouldered his way through the crowd. His orange overalls were filthy from both incarceration and combat. Gun oil streaked the already stained fabric. His face was coated with smoke and dust. His eyes flashed with intensity.
Just might be.
Trapp dropped his pistol to his side and turned around. He marched toward the Zen-like prisoner on his side of the barrier and grabbed him by the thick leather belt around his waist. Next, he brought the pistol back up and jammed it against Khaled Al-Shaqiri's temple. It was no longer even a scintilla of doubt in his mind over who it was he was dealing with. For a moment, he thought about pulling the trigger and splattering the evil son of a bitch's brains across the concrete. The bastard deserved it for what he'd done to that little girl, her family, and all those thousands of others. There was no sin in killing a man like him. It was justice. Perhaps Al-Shaqiri sensed the urge traveling his captor's veins, because for the first time he displayed a hint of nervousness, pulling away from the gun barrel pressed against his temple and swallowing hard. Both men stared each other down.
Fuck.
Trapp knew he couldn't do it. Not now. Not yet. He dragged the former ISIS senior commander back toward the gate instead, where the tall prisoner was waiting calmly. Trapp didn't like that part. It suggested that the man thought he was in control rather than the other way around. And hell, he wasn't exactly wrong. After all, now that the worst of the battle din had faded, it was easier to hear the crackling of the fire still burning somewhere down below. It sounded big and hot, and with hundreds of armed and escaped prisoners on the loose in the grounds, there was likely no way out, whatever happened.
Madison, come here.
What is it?
You think our British friend up there might be interested in giving us a hand?
How?
Trapp squinted as he pictured the layout of the prison compound.
Ask him to level the northeastern guard tower. Quickly. I want to spook them. It's a long shot, but...
Yeah, we don't have many other options.
She reached for the satellite phone and searched for a window in view of the sky.
It'll take a minute. I don't have a direct line to the pilot.
Don't wait too long.
Trapp secured his grip on the thick leather restraint belt and began to slowly shuffle Al-Shaqiri to the top end of the hallway.
No pressure, huh?
Something like that.
Al-Shaqiri walked leaden-footed for a man of his diminutive, shrunken size. Trapp figured almost immediately that his prisoner was slow-playing him.
I know you speak English, all right? Just know, if you fuck with me, it'll be the last thing you do. Right now, my working hypothesis is that everybody outside of this gate is already dead, and we're all that's left. That's Hail Mary territory, you understand?
The terrorist didn't respond, but, even if almost imperceptibly, picked up his pace.
So you are listening.
Trapp thought there was something interesting about this, too, but he couldn't place his finger on exactly what it was. He frog-marched the terrorist toward the gate. Thick smoke was now curling through the bars, causing both the prisoners and the friendlies to cough. He felt a rough tickle at the back of his throat, but ignored it. It was something undignified and weak about giving in to that kind of impulse. And besides, the tall man in the orange jumpsuit certainly wasn't giving in.
What do you want? Seems like neither of us has much time.
His opposite number was about the same height, and at the time of his capture, likely of similar build, perhaps even stronger. Years of prison food and lack of opportunities to exercise had done a number on his physique. Still, he didn't look like the kind of man you picked a fight with if you had any other choice.
Open the gate.
Trapp resisted the urge to check on Madison's progress.
I don't think that would be healthy for either of us.
Shaqiri squinted in confusion. He stabbed his finger at the steel bars in question.
Gate!
Who the fuck taught you to negotiate? A grizzly bear? You need to show me a little give and take, you know?
He cocked his ear to one side and listened for the telltale scream of the Typhoon's engine. It was definitely up there, though it was difficult to figure out how far through the muffling of the thick concrete shell that surrounded him in every direction, and the ever-present thud and crack of nearby explosions and bullets. There were clearly pockets of resistance scattered all around the prison. That was no surprise. The guards were fighting for their lives. When they had first been imprisoned, these men were already fearsome, brutal individuals. Now they were driven by 5 years of added hatred.
Open the gate!
The tall man raised his weapon and thrust it through the bars. Trapp stalled for time.
Now, there's no point in either of us getting angry. You have something I want, and I have someone of value to you. We can do a deal here.
His interlocutor reached down and grasped the shoulder strap of one of the suicide vests being worn by one of his fellow prisoners. Trapp resisted the urge to wince at the casual handling of the no doubt poorly wired and volatile explosive mix. A malfunctioning suicide vest detonating would be a hell of a disappointing way to go out.
Open the gate, or you all die!
If you planned on killing us all...
There was no warning. At first, each man was standing, and then nobody was. The detonation of the 500-pound paveway Mark IV ripped the ground from underneath all of them. In the blink of an eye, a storm of dust was whipped up and tore through the prison's already shattered windows, and then the hallways beyond. Despite likely being forewarned after eavesdropping on his conversation with Madison, the sudden detonation appeared to have taken Al-Shaqiri by surprise. His reactions were dulled, and it took him two full heartbeats before the idea of trying to wrest the pistol from Trapp's hand seemed to occur to him. By that time, it was too late. Trapp secured his grasp, tightening his grip on the prisoner for added measure. This time, Trapp was unable to resist the urge to cough as thick, no doubt asbestos-ridden dust mingled with the smoke already hanging thick in the air. He took a second to observe whether the explosion, which was still reverberating the prison underneath their feet, as though a thunderbolt from the gods had struck the earth, had had the desired effect. Unfortunately, the prisoners arrayed opposite him appeared equally determined to stay the course, if a little dustier. Trapp shrugged.
Worth a shot.
So, why don't we make a deal, like sensible people? You guys back the fuck up, and I'll send your friend here down to meet you.
Jason,
we don't have a choice. It's either this or we all die, and we can't catch him if we're dead.
He shifted his attention to Al-Shaqiri.
You heard all that, right? Why don't you convince your friend here that the smart play is to work with the great Satan for once? A bit of compromise never hurt anybody.
After his brief attempt to escape a moment before, Al-Shaqiri had once again fallen still, even serene. He finally bowed his head. He spoke calmly and quietly to the large man at the gate, who grimaced at the prospect of compromise, but acquiesced with a quick nod.
Interesting.
The big guy clearly wasn't in charge here. Something to dig into, if he survived.
We accept your offer. Omar will remove all of his men from the hallway. All except himself. You will do the same, barring yourself. Then you will unlock the gate and send me down the stairs.
What assurances do I have that your friends won't attack the moment you're free?
I did not ask them to come for me. They have an emotional attachment to me. A spiritual one, you could say.
Yeah, pigs can fly.
Trapp loosened his grip on the prisoner and spun him around so that he could get a read of his face. The RAF jet made its presence known again.
But whatever helps you sleep at night.
Once I'm downstairs, you will have the high ground, correct?
I will.
And I believe you know how to use that weapon.
I do.
Then you should have no trouble holding my friends at bay. As I said, their only concern was what you might do to me up here. But beyond that, they will not harm you. I give you my word.
As the terrorist stopped speaking, a hail of bullets penetrated the windows of the office to Trapp's left and embedded themselves in the ceiling, tearing away what chunks of plaster remained and scattering it across already ruined workstations. Thankfully, the angle of the incoming gunfire was too acute. Without scaling either the walls or the guard towers, it was impossible for the escaped prisoners or their accomplices on the outside to accurately deliver fire. And Trapp guessed that the leveling of the first tower had persuaded most of them to discount that option. Still, it was a reminder that al-Shaqiri's rescuers were not the only threat they faced.
Fair point.
Trapp jerked his head toward the source of the gunfire.
What about the others?
I would be lying to you if I said I had control over them. I only know those men who were placed in my cell. We became extremely close over the past few years. That's why they came for me.
Bullshit.
These men had known an escape attempt was going to happen. There was no other way of explaining the suicide vests or the way they moved in practiced formation, rather than as a ragtag group of incarcerated killers tasting freedom for the first time in years.
Okay. You make the first move.
Two Apaches inbound.
He knew Madison was trying to dissuade him from this course of action, but he was equally certain that it was the only way to save her life, not to mention the dozens of other support staff cowering behind him.
What about ground support?
No news.
It's bad news.
Trapp grinned at al-Shaqiri.
Maybe I'll get lucky and one of those choppers will ram a hellfire down your throat as you make your escape.
If Allah wills it, I accept your terms.
He turned and spoke to the prisoner named Omar again. The second man grimaced but agreed, gesturing to direct the men around him to retreat. He gripped the iron bars as the largely barefoot fighters behind him shuffled backward, occasionally flashing his weapon just so Trapp knew it was there.
I kept my word. Now it's your turn.
The clatter of rotors in the distance made its way to Trapp's ears. The aircraft sounded as though they were nearly in firing range. They would help turn the tide of the battle in the open spaces, both inside the prison and beyond. Hell, the SDF's prison overcrowding problem was about to get a whole lot less urgent. This was the kind of target that gunship pilots dreamt of in their cots. Grudgingly, he spun and indicated for Abdul to move his men back. He caught Madison's eye as he did so. Her jaw muscles were tense, and she was gripping her pistol so tightly, he worried that her fingers might go numb. She stared malevolently back at him, her eyes screwed up with rage. He gave her a look that he hoped said, "I'll make it up to you." It didn't help. As the guards moved backward, the RAF Typhoon dropped another guided bomb. The destination sounded several hundred yards farther away, and Trapp guessed that the pilot had been targeting an escaping vehicle. The accompanying rumble caused more dust to pour from the damaged ceiling. Trapp turned back toward the gate.
Okay. You kept your word. Now I'll keep mine.
Abdul approached, holding up a key.
I think you will need this.
I'm sorry?
It's the only way.
For the guard, the humiliation of being forced into releasing one of his prisoners clearly rankled deep inside. He placed the key into the lock.
Back!
Trapp aimed his pistol at Omar, whose knuckles were still white around the steel bars.
I said I'd release your friend. I never said anything about you.
Al-Shaqiri stiffened but said nothing. Abdul turned the key. Trapp watched as the prisoner pushed the gate open, then stepped across the threshold to join his friend. The two men embraced, and then the larger man ducked his head underneath al-Shaqiri's arm and helped him down the stairs. He kept hold of his pistol, never fully pulling his attention away from where Trapp and Abdul stood. Both men disappeared out of sight. Abdul gestured for several of his colleagues to join them at the precipice of the stairwell, and they formed two ranks of rifles as they waited for an attack. But it never came.
Jason, we've got a problem!
Trapp handed Madison a rifle along with a frayed ammunition belt from one of the office's armory cabinets.
You know how to fire one of these things?
Well, I've seen it done on TV.
She loaded a magazine and racked around into the chamber. She gave him a withering look that told him she was still burning up with rage.
Does that count?
He turned away, catching sight as he did so of the smoke now billowing out from underneath the closed door to the interrogation room where they had waited for Al-Shaqiri before everything went to shit. That was the problem that Madison had been referring to. The ceiling underneath must have been weaker than the rest of the structure. Perhaps the interrogation room stood over a storage space for something flammable. Either way, the fire downstairs was now raging through it, out of control. The door would hold it back for a few more minutes, but no longer.
Let's go, people.
Abdul's guards were arranged in two parallel lines on either side of the prison's 24 support staff, who, to their credit, had so far resisted the urge to panic. They knew to keep their heads down and go wherever they were told. Still, he was pretty sure that this was a suicide run.
Back into the frying pan?
Madison had apparently decided the time to have it out could come later.
Something like that.
Abdul gave him a thumbs up.
Okay, time to move.
He led the way downstairs, resisting the urge to cough on the noxious smoke that now billowed from every direction. He pulled his shirt up and breathed through it. Not that the porous scrap of fabric did much to help. The sounds of dozens of footsteps behind him, those like nails on a chalkboard to a man who'd spent most of his career in special ops trying not to be heard.
Quiet.
He came to the bottom of the stairs and lifted his left hand up, making a fist. Madison was right behind him and translated the gesture in hushed, whispered Arabic to those civilians who didn't understand. Trap paused at the bottom of the stairwell, half expecting Omar's men to open fire, but the space was empty. Apparently, even the escapees, drunk on their newfound freedom, weren't foolish enough to stray this close to an uncontained blaze. From beyond the prison walls, he heard the thump of incoming rocket rounds. The Apache gunships were really going to town on the escaping prisoners, but there was only so much two of them could do. Somebody needed to get boots on the ground. Enough hardened fighters had been incarcerated in this facility to, if not reignite the entire caliphate, then at least light the match that got the blaze going. A few of them lay dead on the floor around his feet, but not nearly enough. The scent of blood and death was nearly thick enough down here to block out the smoke. Trap spied a handful of grenades scattered on the floor on and around one of the corpses. He knelt and stripped them, then stowed them in his pockets.
Okay, let's keep moving. Stay tight.
Abdul pushed his way through the crowd. He gestured into the depths of the prison, right where the smoke was thickest.
We have to go that way.
Why?
I have men in the control room. They are surrounded. These animals will slaughter them if we don't do something to help.
Trap paused and took a knee. To his left, he could see an exit to the courtyard. The bars on the door now hung askew, blown open from the outside.
We need to get these civilians out first. They'll slow us down.
Without waiting for a response, Trap rose and ran in a low crouch toward the door to the courtyard, gesturing at the others to wait. As he reached it, a hail of gunfire strafed the concrete at his feet, tearing up chunks of rubble and dust. He spun and threw himself behind the protection of the wall. The rate of incoming fire doubled, then tripled. Trap waited for it to slow, then dared to take a peek outside.
Shit.
Trap made his way back to where Abdul was still crouched.
Okay, we do it your way.
What about the secretaries?
Trap pictured the dozens of armed prisoners he'd just seen roaming the courtyard. There was simply no way to escape by that route. It would be like lining up for a firing squad. The prisoners were arranged along a broad front and had the advantage of cover to hide behind. By contrast, if he tried to shoot back, he would be able to call on no more than a couple of guns at a time, given the constraint forced by the narrow doorway.
They looked fit and healthy.
They looked anything but.
Besides, either they keep up or...
They die. They understand that already.
Okay. You lead the way.
Madison fell in by his side as they moved behind the guard.
You know, I was just joking about the frying pan.
Trap looked up at the thick blanket of smoke that coated the hallway they were heading for. It looked like it led directly to the center of the prison. Abdul explained, upstairs, that when the SDF converted the school for its new function, they'd hollowed out the center and created a strong point around which the cells were arranged. Four hallways led into this central stronghold, one from each point of the compass. Prisoners were at the gates of all four of them, and though each still held, they were raining fire at the guards left behind, who were spread too thin, simply holding the line, to think about driving any particular group back. Trapp caught up with Abdul.
The men in the control center, do they have a link to the outside?
Yes, a hardwired one.
His eyes roved to either side as he padded down the hallway. Flames crackled in an emptied cell that they passed on their right.
At least as long as it wasn't knocked out in this attack.
Find out.
Trapp knew he needed a way to contact whatever force was gearing up to take back the prison. Madison's sat phone was useless through the thick concrete. Abdul lifted the radio handset off his belt and pressed it to his lips. He relayed the question in Arabic. The answer was barely audible over the relentless crackle of gunfire.
Yes, it's still functioning.
Good.
Trapp closed his eyes for a second and pictured the layout of the prison.
I need them to get in contact with whoever's running JTAC out there. Our air support needs to focus all its efforts on clearing a path out for us through the southeastern corner.
But there's no gate on that corner.
Tell them to make one. And while they're at it, get them to smoke every last one of those orange jumpsuit-wearing assholes they see. It's the only hope of making it out.
He turned, acid boring a fresh ulcer into his gut as he saw the positioning of the guards at the back of the slow-moving column. It was clear that they were used to herding unarmed prisoners, not high-intensity combat. It was no surprise. The SDF had plenty of the latter on its hands outside the prison walls. No sense detailing its best fighters to stand watch when they were needed elsewhere. He caught Madison's eye.
Stay low, understand? Move nice and slow. Don't be stupid. If you see anything up there that's dressed in orange, put a bullet through it just to be sure.
I don't think those are the rules of engagement, Jason.
She forced a tight smile.
I'll be okay. Go.
He left without another word to her, expressing encouragements to the guards at the edge of the procession of civilian staff. Most had by now lost their masks. They came from the entire spectrum of society, some barely old enough to be out of school, others well past retirement age. They were short and tall and young and old and fat and thin, and they were all terrified. Trapp stopped short about halfway down the line, grabbing one of them by the arm and physically removing his finger from the trigger of the man's shotgun.
You want to get all your friends killed?
His throat was growing hoarse from the smoke as he manipulated the man's digit and laid it flat along the trigger guard.
Keep that thing aimed at the floor, unless you're prepared to kill the person on the other side. Got it?
The man glanced down at his rearranged grip, then looked back and nodded. Whether he really understood was unclear. Trapp moved on, slowing as he reached the back of the line. Half a dozen uniformed guards were bringing up the rear. The only problem was that none of them were actually covering the retreat. Kind of a big deal.
You.
He grabbed one of them by the shoulder and physically spun him around. He stabbed his finger down the murky, smoke-obscured hallway.
I want you looking that way. No matter what happens behind you, don't fucking turn around. Got it?
The guard looked shocked by Trapp's sudden appearance, but eventually nodded.
Yes.
Good. This man and this one. They speak English?
The Syrian switched his attention between Trapp's face and the murky hallway.
No, just me.
Tell them to do the same. You guys are all that's standing in the way of a couple of these ISIS punks coming up behind us and slaughtering us all, including you, okay?
The guard swallowed, and though it was difficult to see his expression underneath the coat of plaster dust and grime and ash on his face, Trapp guessed that the blood had just drained from his cheeks.
But you can stop it, all right? You're the only one. Someone comes up behind us, light him up.
Light?
Trapp tapped his weapon, lifted it up so that it was parallel with the hallway, and mimed pulling the trigger.
I don't care what paradise they think they're going to. No one runs directly into automatic gunfire. Not them, not anyone. Been around the block before, trust me.
Okay.
The man nodded seriously, a fresh resolve showing on his face.
I can do it.
Trapp slapped him on the shoulder.
I know you can. Come on, let's catch up.
He spent another minute getting the three guards behind the first rank of shooters to hold on to their buddies' ammunition belts and guide them backward so that they could focus their entire attention on protecting the rear. Then he returned to the front of the line.
Nearly there.
Abdul slowed as they reached a bend in the hallway. He nearly needn't have bothered. The rattle of gunfire from up ahead was incessant now. So too were the panicked squawks issuing from the guard's radio. Catching a man by his wrist, Trap gestured at the black handset.
Turn it down. What do they say?
Abdul flushed with embarrassment and hurriedly turned the volume knob all the way down. He brought the device up to his ear and listened intently.
Three more dead. 10 of the guards are alive and unhurt. 5 are wounded.
Can they walk?
At the moment.
And we need to move fast. Every second we waste, the odds turn further against us.
What is your plan?
Abdul instinctively deferred to the more experienced fighter.
Ask your men to turn as much of their firepower on the gate we're approaching as they can spare while holding the others at bay. Tell them to start in 90 seconds. Can you do that?
He received a firm nod in response. There was nothing cowardly about this man, that much was clear. Nor most of the guards under his command. They weren't expert fighters, not trained for this kind of combat, but they were brave and prepared to die to protect their friends and families. And that was what it would come to, Trap knew. There was a reason they had all taken up arms in the first place. ISIS had come for their homes and loved ones once before. Every escaped prisoner, every one left alive at the end of this, represented a chance for that horror to happen again. They didn't need him to tell them what was at stake.
Good.
He glanced at his wristwatch.
Make that 2 minutes. I'm gonna go up ahead and take a look. If I'm not back in time, you know what to do.
Go with Allah, my friend.
I'll go with whoever keeps me alive.
He grinned and squeezed Abdul's shoulder.
I appreciate it.
The Syrian didn't seem to take much offense at the jocular response with which his prayer had been answered. The imperfect vessels and all that.
I'm coming with you.
No. I'll move faster alone. And besides, one of us needs to make it out alive. There's something going on here. You feel it too.
Madison gritted her teeth, but gave him a curt nod. Figuring that was about as friendly as she was going to get, Trap got moving. He pressed himself against the inner edge of the hallway before it kinked to the right up ahead. The closer he got to the turn, the more distinct the sound of men's voices became. They were stressed and excited. One of them was firing a Kalashnikov on full auto.
Amateurs.
That appraisal was enough to get him moving. He doubted any of the escaped prisoners were standing watch to their rear. Maybe if they had fresh combat experience, it would have been different, but they'd been behind bars for years, their skills eroding away. The unparalleled excitement of battle, the flood of adrenaline that accompanied the fear of death, would have washed away whatever hard-learned tactical sense was left. He poked his head past the corner, taking in the scene for only a second before jerking back, the move smoothed and practiced. Closing his eyes, he processed the scene. At least 15 prisoners, the precise number were hard to guess, armed with a variety of weapons, mostly Kalashnikovs and a few American-made M4 carbines taken from dead guards. No vests. The absence of explosive material explained why the prisoners hadn't simply blown up the gate to the control center, as their colleagues had done when springing Al-Shaqiri. It was strange that one group had been so freely equipped with the devices and not the rest, but right now, it was a gift. The key was that he'd guessed right. Not one of the prisoners was watching their rear. Trap peered around the edge again, this time moving slower, allowing himself to drink in more of the scene. He felt the seconds ticking away in his mind, but sensed instinctively he still had a minute and a half remaining. He counted 14 prisoners. Several more lay either dead on the floor or bleeding out beside the corpses of those whom they would soon join. He didn't see any heavier weapons than rifles and the occasional pistol. Nor were the besieging prisoners armed with huge quantities of ammunition, only what they could carry themselves. The attack on the control center seemed unplanned and ad hoc, unlike the rescue of Al-Shaqiri, which had been anything but. Escapees had found guns and turned on their tormentors without needing encouraging. Trap retreated. He'd seen what he needed to. They were ripe for the taking. A dozen armed guards, accompanied by Madison and Abdul, approached. The rest remained with the civilians to guard against an attack from the rear, though the truth was that if the attempt to fight their way through failed, then their deaths would only be delayed.
Abdul, the others know what they need to do?
They do.
The gunfire from around the corner was growing more infrequent, which he hoped meant the prisoners were running out of ammunition. Trap glanced at his watch. 30 seconds remained.
Tell your men to stick to the walls and not to get in each other's way. There's gonna be a lot of lead flying through the air.
They understand.
Good.
Trap fished the grenades he'd taken from the body earlier out of his pockets.
Don't start shooting until the guys in the control room do. And good luck.
They lined up on either side of the hallway. Trap went first on the inner edge, around which he'd just looked, hoping like hell that he wasn't going to catch a stray round in the back. The position would buy him maybe an additional half second, and he intended to use it.
10 seconds.
A huge explosion shook the prison, followed by the muffled sound of rocket fire. It had to be the Typhoon and the two Apaches getting to work clearing them a way out of the prison. Despite the high-risk tightrope act that was their current predicament, he still wouldn't trade places with the escapees now taking fire from above. Trap moved a full 2 seconds before the others, pulling the pins from both fragmentation grenades and lifting his arm back as he strode around the corner. He held them for a couple of seconds, then launched them high, one after the other, so that they wouldn't bounce off the concrete floor and warn the enemy about what was coming. They each had 4-second fuses. The moment they were out of his hand, he dropped back behind the wall and brought his rifle back up to his shoulder, lightly depressing the trigger but not pulling it all the way back. The two grenades detonated about 2 feet off the ground on either side of the hallway. A tornado of destruction scythed through the assembled ISIS fighters, instantly killing at least 3 of them and wounding just as many. As though reacting to the firing of a starter pistol, Trap spun back into the hallway and squeezed his rifle's trigger. He ignored the destruction ahead of him and fired in taut 3-round bursts, locking onto a target, firing, and moving on without a second's hesitation. He had no other choice. It was either them or him, and if he went, so did 2 dozen innocent civilians. By the time the rest of the ambush party opened up around him, Trap was already halfway through his first magazine. As spouts of fire blazed from the muzzles of the rifles to his left and right, the enemy began to drop in swaths. It was like harvesting corn. In truth, they never stood a chance. The guards didn't need to be trained operators. They just needed to be able to pull a trigger and stand in the right place. The cramped hallway did the rest, funneling a hail of death toward the escaped prisoners. And most of the guards did a whole lot better than that. At long last, the gunfire fell silent. Orange-clad prisoners, their uniforms now stained red or simply ripped clean off by the force of the explosions, littered the floor, surrounded by hundreds of brass cartridge casings and pools of blood. Trap ejected his magazine and let it fall to the floor. The sound, as it bounced and skidded to a halt, acted almost as a reminder to breathe. As he sucked oxygen in, nausea gripped Trap's stomach. He held the wall for support, a wash of acid surging up his own throat at the charnel house of death ahead of him. After a few more scattered rounds, the gunshots from the control center fell silent.
Keep moving.
Trap gritted his teeth and pushed off the support. He didn't have the luxury of giving in to his emotions, at least not now. He picked his way through the slaughterhouse, spent rounds clinking underfoot as they rolled away from his boots, and stopped to the left of the steel gate, sheltering behind the concrete door jamb for cover. It wasn't necessary. The central hall in which the concrete and glass surrounded control facility had been constructed was laid out so that he didn't have line of sight to either of the 3 remaining entrances. He wondered whether it was an intentional security measure or just a fortuitous twist of fate. Abdul rushed up beside him, his teeth seemingly gritted in an attempt to stave off nausea. He fumbled with the keychain at his belt, numbed fingers, losing the correct key several times before he was finally able to insert it into the lock and twist. The gate's hinges were well oiled, and it pulled open easily. Trap glanced back, noting a mix of emotions on the faces of the guards behind him. There was disgust, terror, but anger, too. These men wanted revenge for what had happened to the place they were sworn to guard. Their eyes widened one by one as they saw the destruction that lay ahead. The control center's windows must have been bulletproof, because they just barely held, even as they had turned opaque from the effect of hundreds of impacts. One of the heavy panes had been pushed backward and was hanging from its frame like a smashed windshield after an auto wreck. Trap pointed to his left.
Take half your guys down this wall. Stay real tight. Follow it all the way to the corner, and then do the same when you hit concrete on the other side. Tell your people inside that thing to concentrate their fire on the two lateral entrances. They can keep them occupied while we get into position. We have good odds of taking them both out.
What about that one?
Abdul gestured through the control hub to the gate Trap knew lay on the other side.
Keep a couple of guys on it. It's a risk, but if we can take out these two entrances, then we won't have a problem mopping up the last on the way out.
Abdul nodded resolutely. Trap clapped him on the shoulder.
Attaboy. Let's go.
He grabbed half a dozen guards for himself and pushed them into position. He held up three fingers, then two, then stepped through the gate, pressing his right shoulder against the wall the second he was inside. He set a fast pace, not looking back to see if the SDF fighters were keeping up. 20 paces. Corner. Turn. 10 more paces. Trap slowed as his target came into view. His stomach was knotted with tension. The hulking control hub was to his left, standing like some besieged medieval castle keep. The walls, left and right of the gate he was approaching, were scarred with bullet holes. Every few seconds, a fresh puff of dust erupted from either side as the surrounded guards kept up their relentless covering fire. He held up his left fist, halting the procession behind him, then waved at the control room. This was the hard part. Abdul had a radio. He could warn the guards on his side to cease fire as he made his move. Trap wasn't so lucky. He didn't need long, just a couple of seconds. Finally, someone inside responded. A face appeared in the exact spot where he'd seen a muzzle flash a moment before. The shadowed face squinted, then appeared to ascertain his intentions.
Here's hoping.
He held up three fingers, just like he had before. 2, 1. His boots crunched over dust and debris as he sprinted toward the gate. A fresh puff of dust fell from the opposite side as a gunshot cracked out. His primal brainstem screamed for him to stop, that this was suicidal, but he ignored it. He slowed 2 paces from the gate, took a step to the right, and squeezed his trigger just as a flash of orange came into view. The man fell, now just another corpse. He was panting hard, forgetting to breathe despite all his experience. Sweat dripped down his temples and ran freely down his back. He took another step to the left to open up his firing angle. He didn't aim at anyone or anything in particular, just squeezed and fired until his magazine ran dry. Another pace to the left, and he slotted in a fresh magazine. To Trap's right, one of the guards that had followed him into the control hall spun and toppled to the floor as a round took him in the hip. Trap ignored it, stepping closer toward the gate, heedless of his own safety, and pressed the barrel of his rifle through the bars. He emptied the entire magazine. The other SDF fighters around him did the same. Just as before, the untrained, inexperienced, and most critically of all, out of practice, ISIS prisoners collapsed under the weight of fire from this fresh attack. Just seconds before, they must have believed they were on the verge of victory. Trap's shoulders sagged as the sound of firing fell away around him. A moment later, the guns fell silent on the opposite side of the hall. Abdul had succeeded. Only one enemy strong point remained now, and it didn't stand a chance.